You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Your big boy show is going very well today. We're all very proud of you, Chris.
Well, I'm trying to do my big boy show. Haven't done one yet, but we're getting there. Before we get to the good congressman, remember we have a happy hour going on Thursday at Games and Gadgets at 5:30 in the Short Rest Tavern inside their Tucson Mall location. And we're going to have a fun happy hour, and we're going to have a trivia night. So that'll be fun. And then August 17th is our amazing Southern Arizona Honor Flight fundraiser at the Westward Look Resort. Great auction prizes, $45 at the door, cash or credit. You must RSVP. If you're not on the list, we're not letting you in. So wakeuptucson@gmail.com. We have some great auction prizes. One is a 20-gram a chunk of gold from Tucson Coin and Autograph. We have a F-16 simulator experience, a ride-along with Sheriff Mark Danels. From Cochise County. We're going to have a great restaurant. And one of the best ones that just came on board is a Venn diagram presentation over cappuccinos with U.S. Congressman David Schweikert. So we're looking to get big bucks from that. So, David, thanks for contributing that to our fundraiser.
Yeah, you know, happy to do that, except we're far beyond Venn diagrams. We are actually 3D. Oh, yeah. I just came from doing a quick presentation to a bunch of Leadership Institute, you know, kids, you know, the college kids, on using AI and those things to crash the price of government. And it's fascinating. You get these blank stares of, but all the other speakers here were telling us, you know, it's frustrating because there are ways you and I could make this government so much more efficient and much less expensive. And you still have the armies of lobbyists even talking to these kids trying to defend their little book of business and why you shouldn't automate them.
How's the primary going?
Well, you know, there's rumors it's going to happen at the end of the month, so...
Are
as
you,
long as it stays on the calendar, I think we're fine.
Are you one of those? Are you one of those rhino? Are you still a rhino? Are they still calling you a rhino? Or
you know, it's fascinating. I'm having some fun with this. So the seven Democrats that are running against us are beating the crap out of me for apparently being an alter conservative. One calls me alter MAGA. I mean, actually, it's like billboards up. So, you know, get rid of alter. And then I have a couple fringe Republicans who can't. They're all over the board. Well, you know, Schweikert's too conservative for the district. Well, Schweikert's not MAGA enough. And then, but I promise I won't touch Social Security or Medicare. I won't cut any of these programs you like. But Schweikert's too not conservative. And you realize just how schizophrenic our politics are right now. And look, I know I make some people mad when I keep trying to say populism isn't conservatism. They really are very different things. We need each other, but you don't conflate them. They are one wants, you know, your emotions and government to redress your grievances, and the other just wants you to get government to leave you the hell alone.
This you just keep hearing the nutty. Now, are you have you been endorsed by Trump again?
No.
Okay.
Look, we there's an we're doing some economic work with some of his team. We're trying to show them that the tariff model they're talking about isn't going to come close to some things being said. And we're actually trying to help them on some of their math, saying, look, if you want to do this, then you got to do something of a destination tax, which is functionally a way to stop the rest of the world from using the refunding of their value-added tax when they export to us, creating this, the term is a tax arbitrage. So when things are exported to the United States, you know, you get a car from Germany, the German government gave that car manufacturer back like 18.5% of the tax, the value, that value-added tax.
Right.
And that's what the rest of the world is screwing America. And so what you need is a method to adjust to the tax arbitrage the rest of the world takes advantage of us because we don't use a VAT tax here. It turns out you don't really get that efficiency on tariffs because tariffs income become either product or country specific. And so folks just scam you. Oh, okay, I got a tariff on China. We'll just ship it through Mexico.
And this is something that when he was in office, we were talking about. Wasn't he doing that with metal ore or steel? I forgot what it was again.
Yeah. Well, China built massive overcapacity. And in many ways, it looked like it was more designed to bankrupt most of the steel production in the rest of the world. And when the tariffs went on, we started to find out that a lot of their products would go to Vietnam, be restamped as being a Vietnamese product, or Mexico, be restamped there. It's called transshipping. And we spent all sorts of time playing whack-a-weasel, trying to figure out where the Chinese were sending their stuff and then trying to rebrand it or reassemble it a little bit so it fell into a new category. So our argument is if you're going to engage in that type of sort of policy, you need a way to sort of spread it over the entire world because the scam artists around the world have found ways to beat much of our tariff system.
So when U.S. Steel was, or I don't know if that the deal's completed being sold to a Japanese company, is that as bad as does it sound? Is it not as bad as it sound?
I have sort of mixed feelings with that. It's a publicly traded Japanese company. So, I mean, people from all over the world own the stock. You know, a bunch of Americans own the stock. And the reality of it, these steel works need massive new capital infusion to move to the new technologies and even the new steel. And now there's other crazy things happening. If you get bored, there's a breakthrough in technologies of, you know, robots that can fabricate metal. So the old stamping it is may be out of date in the next few years where the robot actually cuts, bends, does it. The new metal 3D printers. So there's revolution happening in just the way we're going to produce and fabricate steel. And it's going to take a whole lot of capital for the new equipment. You'd like to be doing that in partnership with countries you're allies with instead of having that technology go to those that are our potential adversaries. So I think you need to think much bigger and much holistically that the world of things like steel production by the end of this decade are going to look a hell of a lot different.
You know, I think it's you have that the idea that, you know, it's a definitely critical resource for the country, right? And so, you know, it's easy to have those thoughts.
Yeah, and you have to have the agreements that, okay, you may be the capital source, maybe even the ownership source, but production stays in these locations.
Right. All right, David, can you hold on for a commercial break, please?
Sure.
When we
sure.
come back, I never thought I was going to say these names together. David Schweikert, Paris Hilton. All right, when you come back, we'll find out that story. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. We're playing our friend Bev from Catalina's Roger and Hammerstein playlist today. So here we go. This will get you in trouble. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. All right, 7:20 in the morning. We're playing Bev's Rogers and Hammerstein playlist. We have U.S. Congressman David Schweikert back. David, thanks for holding. Appreciate it.
You can put the music back on. We'll just all sing with each other.
It's better than me and you talking about this crap.
Yeah.
So David Schweikert,
I need to give you. I'm here with one of my economists, and we're just saying we think by the end of this month we will have crossed the $35 trillion in debt. So.
What's another trill, Dave? What's another trill amongst friends?
It's just, and yet, you know, you get the folks who say, well, balance the budget. I can do that. But today, if you do it today, you got to get rid of all the military, all of government, so everything, all non-defense discretionary, and basically a quarter or so of Medicare. There's just this complete understanding of the scale that almost all that borrowing is interest and healthcare costs.
Now, I do want to get to you and Paris Hilton, but you've inspired a question for me here. So, we haven't gone totally through the GOP platform for the convention next week or any of that, but talking to some of the former president's people and your group of geeks, if he gets back in the office? And I don't know what congressional elections are going to look like. What does he need to do hitting the ground to stop the bleeding on this?
My first answer is actually sort of a universal one. The political class needs to tell the truth. Look, your listeners have been having, you know, we've been having this conversation for years, but it is shocking. I will get up in front of audiences that are well-educated, they're smart, they're entrepreneurs, they work their hearts out, and they really do believe some of the crazy things that have been said to them. If you just got rid of foreign aid, we'll be fine. And then you show the chart that it's like a week and a quarter of borrowing. Well, if you got rid of congressional salaries, and then you show it's less than 6 seconds a day of borrowing, we got to stop lying to each other.
Right.
Debt is associated with demographics. End of the decade, 22-23% of our society, we're 65 and up. We have earned benefits. We earned these things, but we never set aside enough money. And that's what's being financed. Until you have politicians that aren't terrified of the lower information voters and telling them the truth, but also that if we take it on and adopt technology and cures and take on obesity and all sorts of things that are actually the healthcare cost drivers, there are ways you can bend the curve. And that's one of the things, actually, they did the right thing on in the Republican platform, is the language of saying we're going to stabilize the debt. And being more honest about the path to do that. That's my first step. Is it's hard to do difficult, complex things when the public believes there's just a simple solution. There
right.
isn't.
Oh, this is the granddaddy of problems.
Complexity.
Yeah. Tell me about you and Paris Hilton. Why were you together? Right. What's going on here?
Yeah, look, you know, I don't want any incident with my spouse, so, you know, nothing. No. We did a hearing. Ways and Means Committee has some substantial responsibilities over the federal participation in foster care, the garnishment of, wages for child care, some of those sorts of regulations, and she was one of the witnesses. It's fascinating. When she showed up as a witness, all of a sudden the Ways and Means Room, which is, the old massive room, is full, and it was full of all these young interns and young staff all trying to get a photo. So no one really cared that we're trying to figure out where the money's going and are we making foster kids' lives better and those things, but they got their photo of Ms. Hilton.
So the thing was about congregate care? Is that what this was about?
That's just one of the categories.
Gotcha.
There's a whole series of things that, and there's a certain, there's additional controversy here because the feds put up a certain amount of money for some of this, and there's an argument. A much more difficult argument is, should we do that? How should we participate? Because every dime of those monies that we give to your state, your county, your city, in justice grants, in helping foster care and these things, it's moral. The things we support, and we borrow the money to do it. And there's the problem, is we're sending money to parts of state and local governments that have their own taxing authority. So when we talk about, there's so many things you want to do, but every dime a member of Congress votes on is borrowed these days. Should you be sending money to levels of government that have their own taxing authority? Should you borrow money here to send it to them?
Yep.
And that's a very controversial way to look at it. But it turns out there's a number of states and municipalities, when you do the adjustment for tax-exempt bonds, actually functionally have better credit ratings than the federal government.
All right, one last and related question for our last 2 minutes together. As a guy who's looking at crosstabs and deep on data on this upcoming election, what are one to three trends you're seeing that worry you or encourage you?
Numbers are better right now than they were 2 months ago.
Is this because of the dum-dums debate performance?
It's almost solely in the loss of confidence in regards to President Biden.
Okay.
It's the collapse of that. But the crazy thing is, you almost need him to be the Democrat nominee.
Absolutely.
Because he's so well defined in voters' minds, where a new candidate, if the Democrats threw someone else in, could redefine themselves according to public expectations and become dangerous. So right now the numbers look good for us, but the Democrats have stunning amounts of money that's going to be dumped on our state. And they're going to go at the state legislature, because with Ms. Hobbs as governor, with our leftist attorney general, those things, if they picked up just a couple seats in the state legislature, they will blow up the election system. They will shut down school choice. They will do all these things. And that would be a bargain for them. You know, could they go buy a couple legislative seats?
Yes.
And own everything. So this is not a game. We really need conservative activists to fixate on what it takes to win the general election.
Are we making inroads on any traditional Democrat voter groups?
No. Well, that's not fair. We see, like, Hispanic working class has always been available to Republicans.
Gotcha.
We just sometimes don't show up and talk to them. And we're doing remarkably well in some of our Jewish community.
All right, my friend. Thanks for the half hour, as always. Have a great day. Say hi to the geeks for us.
All right. Goodbye now.
Later, buddy. You're on Wake Up Tucson. We're going to play that focus panel of six black voters that The Daily Show did and ran into a little bit of surprise. Wake up. 7:34 in the morning. It's a Rodgers and Hammerstein morning with Bev from Catalina's Playlist today. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. And let's go to... One of our listeners just sent me something that's on the KOLD Facebook page. I'm going through a little bit. It's kind of interesting. Let's go to this young man at The Daily Show. And John Stewart did do a good rant about the people that have covered for Biden. It's pretty good. It's pretty good for John. But let's get to this young man. He has six New York black voters in a focus panel, and he actually goes through. There's a point in the discussion where he asks them about who they're voting for. Matt Neely.
Okay, so who will you be voting for in 2024, Daryl?
Do I have to say his name? I don't want to, but more than likely, it's going to be Trump.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable.
Who are you going to be voting for?
Biden.
And then Victor?
I'm with her.
Oh, Biden, okay.
Trump.
Eric, Trump?
Biden.
Mm-hmm. Biden?
Trump.
Okay.
So it's 50% of the six are going Trump.
I didn't see that coming. So do you think there's going to be a big shift, any sort of change?
I think it's going to be a big shift.
Me too.
Big shift?
Yes.
Big really? Shift. Okay.
For me, I've always been a Democrat. And it's like, for the most part with the Democratic Party, they always make
a bunch of promises that they can't deliver.
You know, they use the issues of the African-American community as a soapbox to stand on and make promises, you know, just to get us to come out and vote. And then once we vote and everyone's in place, it's like, well, what happened?
So it was a little bit of a surprise for this this young man that 50%, three out of the six people on his panel were like, we're going with Trump. That's where we're at. I mean, how many times can you be kicked in the groin by the same people and go, you know, it's starting to hurt. Just hurts a little bit. Just,
you're not going to do that again, are you?
Trump's drawing 26% of likely back black voters. 67% say the nation's moving in the wrong direction, according to a New York Times Siena College poll. So we'll see. Now, David, what he said was interesting is the Republicans really need Biden to be on the ballot. Because America has now finally figured it out and they're done. The people who are paying attention, we knew it, we figured it a long time ago. But the average American who is getting their news from Savannah Guthrie on the Today Show, well, you know something? Even they got it now. Right? And this is why all these Dems and Hollywood elites and stuff are all coming out against Biden. Right? Because they're seeing that this is a loss. What did Hagan send me today? He sent me some of these celebrity idiots. Rob Reiner. he gave me a John Cusack. Now the say anything guy is going after Biden. The Dems are capable of a historic reset. We're coming to finish what FDR started. The old generation passes the torch. It's the only way to win. Identity politics gets us obliterated. Talk about class. Yes, talk to the white working class who will have a huge part deciding the election. If Harris can deliver the message of finishing Build Back Better, maybe we got a shot. If we can't, Newsom or many others could. Yikes. Wow. All right. Now, this is something that I could see the special... I could see... This is like a Conover special. This could be a Conover thing. Or, you know, we got Rankin, who's his own... brand of special over at the city. Sacramento B. or the Sac B, as some of the cool kids would say, is... I hope Josh and the crime-free guys are listening right now. The city attorney, Susana Alcala-Wood... has threatened to fine the popular retail store Target for public nuisance over numerous calls to police after thieves stole from its Land Park location multiple times, according to the report. The Sacramento Bee reported that a person with knowledge of the warning, who wanted to remain anonymous out of fear they could be retaliated against, said Sacramento officials warned they would issue an administrative fine to Target at 2505 Riverside Boulevard in Land Park during the past year. A police spokesperson confirmed the location to the publication after being asked about the alleged warning. After learning about the city's warning and comparable actions against across the state, state lawmakers added an amendment to a retail theft bill allowing these type of threats towards businesses from authorities. Oh my gosh, that is unbelievable. Let's see what we got here. The alleged warning, president of the police chief situation, police chiefs association. I was surprised that anyone would ever attempt to make a nuisance case out of someone calling in to report a legitimate crime. I don't think there's a place for that. It's unclear why City Attorney Wood's office would allegedly resort to issuing a warning to any business seeking help from police. I mean, I could see one of the foolish folks around here saying, you know, you're calling us too many times with calling the police too many times for, you're calling us too many times for retail theft. Just live with it. 790-2040. Billy, number two. Good morning, my friend.
Hey, good morning, guys, and good morning, Wakeys. You know, I got to thinking after Schweiker's comments, but even the Dems all realize that they have to throw Biden overboard. They don't have a choice, really, in the matter. That's got to get done, because the amount of theft that they got to steal on votes and find in the trunk of cars after the election's over and all that stuff is beyond the pale of putting this guy over the top. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, they're seeing it. I'm telling you, the usually ignorant, oblivious presidential voter, right? Even they know that Biden is toast.
Oh yeah. Well, but the thing really is this: which cracks me up is that there isn't enough theft to go on that they can steal this one. There just isn't. We're talking, I don't know, they got to steal, what, millions of votes or illegal votes or however you want to call it.
It's
something they can't overcome. They realize that, and they got to hit. They're just going to put an anchor on him and throw him overboard.
Well, and so the other thing is, if you're the Democrats, you're going to have to put up someone who can do plausible deniability that they because if you put if they put Kamala up there, right? You put Kamala up there, then you have to peg her on, well, you knew that a mentally deficient human being was running the presidency for the last 3 years. And, you know, just kind of went along.
I think you just get Kamala and Raina and run the two of them and just see what happens. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, watching Nurse Ratched, Jill Biden walk around with President Biden has been...
She doesn't really walk around. She kind of drags him around. It's kind of what's going on. But
it's true.
Anyways, I'll see you guys. Bye.
Later, buddy. 790-2040. Let's go to Eric on line three. Eric, good morning, sir.
So California, you know, it's the Alice in Wonderland. Down is up and up is down with the Sacramento thing. So they're going to punish not the criminals. They're going to punish the people, the law-abiding people who report the criminals. And so you ask, why would they be doing this? One of the effects is if you deter people from reporting crime, you will then show reduced crime rates, right? Because crimes aren't getting reported.
Correct.
And so look, we've reduced the crime rate because we will punish you if you report crime. And so, like I was saying, Matt, if you could, it's like if you want to eliminate cancer, you could euthanize everyone with cancer and say, look, there's no more cancer. We've taken care of it. Or we've changed the definition of cancer, and now there's no more cancer. So, yeah, we have a reduced crime rate in Sacramento. Yeah, that's one way of doing it. The other way is to hire Laura Conover, and she'll help you reduce the crime rate because she doesn't punish criminals. And, you know, look, with Laura Conover, the thing is she's a public defender. She is a public defender through and through, and she still is. She's the chief public defender, and you cannot take the public defender out of the public defender.
And no, she, it's true.
It's just so obvious.
So and only, and remember, she's never tried a case the other way for anything, right? Ever.
Right.
So you're literally talking about this only in Pima County can you vote in a county attorney that's never tried a case.
And I mean, she is a disaster, and it's just Tucson, you know, I mean, again, it's, I know she's Pima County, but it's really Tucson. And it's, I said this, I don't know, when your show started 10, 15 years ago, whatever. It's a lost land, Tucson. It really is. It's unfortunate. I'm from there. I'm born here. And I moved out, as you know, because it's over. Give it to them. Let them have it. Everybody move out of town and show like what's happening in New York. Give them what they are asking for. Let them have it and then see what happens.
You are correct.
Start over somewhere else.
Remember, yeah. The future, the future's on the edge. There's going to be it's going to be a donut, right? The future's on the edges. That's it.
Tucson is a moot point. Move out of Tucson. Moot. And because it's all moot at this point.
All right.
And that's my solution.
Eric, see thanks, ya. Buddy. Have a good day. All right, I got to go to break. The phone lines are packed. Rick, Al, and Bill, hold on. I'll get to you when we come back. 790-2040. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. We're doing a little Broadway tunes, Roger and Hammerstein version, with our good friend Bev in Catalina.
Good job, Bev.
Here we go. We're just getting to know you here at Wake Up Tucson. Man, this is really classing up the joint, this playlist. Holy cow.
Leave it to Bev.
Don't leave it to Beaver. Leave it to Bev. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Al on line four. Al, good morning, bud.
All righty, gentlemen. I look at this is open season on crime. Right. Let's go out and do some crimes. Because if you think about it, what happens if they use the same logic for, say, people getting broken into cars? Or people broken into houses or stuff. Oh, yeah, your house is broken into last week. We're not going there anymore. Then the law will change around.
Again, what is going on with your local elected leaders that gives any of us any hope that they're there to reverse the trend at all?
Nothing. They're just lazy. They just want to sit there in the air conditioning and point fingers and take all your money and do nothing and things like this that actually matter. You know, it's going to be open season. And they just said it. We're not going there anymore to take care of that. You're being a pain.
And just to tell you how just kind of like psychopathic some of these people are, right? So they let the border become chaos. Right. They just let blow through. Remember, $100 million Pima County has spent of your dollars to blow a half million people through the country. And of course, when it comes down to why is this happening, they always say it's Donald Trump's fault. Right. And you're like, I'm sorry, you guys have had the keys to the kingdom for on this whole situation.
Well, it's right? Like us here in the 05. They don't do anything. And it's funny, all these homeless shelters and all these food places and all these other things end up to be in our zip code, but you sure don't see them around the U of A anywhere. Do you see them,
not as much, but the U of A's had their problems with this whole thing. They've had.
When was the last time they had a homeless shelter over there? Right over there off Campbell. I have three or four of them over here in my neighborhood.
Sure.
And all it does is make these. I mean, you've gone to the Target here and seen the assault vehicle sitting out front, and a gentleman look like they're going to the world to keeping the losers out. I see them at the Fry's.
Yep, that's
it
where we're at.
It's old, and the point is, we've gone overboard now, and there's no way to pull it back. How are we? I mean, the only way we could stop it, and I don't mean to use, we'll have to turn this into a Gestapo state and get everybody. And there's not enough jails.
So in the end, the city of Tucson is going to force someone into more vigilante like action, and then the crap will hit the fan. That's where we're at. I gotta
exactly. And then it'll be like shot the illegal person. It'll be your fault and not the criminal's fault. They'll get off. You'll go to jail, and you'll lose everything you ever had.
The 05 is constantly under siege. That's where you're at. To quote another movie.
Can I enjoy this? And I can't see you.
All right, my friend. I got to get two more calls in before the end of the hour. So thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
790-2040. Let's get Bill, and then we'll go to Rick. Bill, what's shaking?
Yeah, good morning. Folks need to remember something about what Congressman Schweikert was talking about, whether, you know, Biden stays on or not. There are some very real, hard, cold facts that folks paying attention to politics really need to keep in mind. One is that the folks on the left have literally spent millions of dollars putting field people in place just in the state of Arizona in the last year. Combine that with what all of the like-minded groups, be it abortion, the minimum wage thing, et cetera, are going to put in terms of paid people in the field between now and November. Whatever folks may think is going on a national level with, enjoying the popcorn going on with what goes on with Biden and whether he stays or goes, et cetera, in the state of Arizona, there will be bombarded. All of those college-educated 30 to 50-something women that don't pay a whole lot of attention to politics until, let's say, the middle of October of this year, they are going to be bombarded in
digital messaging,
et cetera.
So you have, if Bill has kept us apprised of a lot of these job openings that they've offered for the last year and a half, at least a year and a half, where they are highly paid people going out and working the streets, petitions, knocking on doors, all of this stuff. And so, Bob, Bill, what you would say is the ratio of leftist political jobs available in Tucson to the ones they're advertising for more conservative, is it 20 to 1? Is that a fair ratio?
In southern Arizona, it's on the Republican side, it's basically non-existent, except with the exception of one or two campaigns. Statewide, I would say you're probably looking anywhere between 30 and 50 to 1 being outspent Democrat to Republican in terms of organizing, putting people in the field, et cetera, et cetera.
Hold it. They're nonpartisan voting things, it says on their.
Oh, of course.
Hey, I got to get one more call in, so thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Have a good day. Rick, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Well, sir, how are you?
Well, good. Listen, there's a couple of quick things. Number one, as Congressman Schweikert said about the inflation and everything, I beg people to look at it like they're borrowing on the equity in their home, but they still have a mortgage payment. So now they have to make the mortgage payment, plus they have to borrow, make payments on the money that they're spending, and before you know it, they don't have any money left, and now they got two debts, and now they're deeply in debt.
Yep.
That's how the federal government's operating. Number two, and I think people need to pay attention, the Biden's and the president's situation right now, if he steps down, this will revert to a scenario where the energy and the excitement of the Democrats will be a heavy storm and these last three elections have been anti-president, anti-President Obama, anti-Hillary Clinton,
Donald Trump,
and it's anti-Biden. And if the Democrats change leadership, you can guarantee it's going to be a significant anti-Biden or anti-Trump campaign. And guess what? They probably will win.
Rick, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Bye.
Just want to good luck to TPD Police Assistant Chief Chris Dennison. He is one of the finalists to become the police chief of Boise, Idaho. That sounds like an upgrade in lifestyle. I don't know. Should I do the 05 or Boise, Idaho? That's interesting. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news talk.